Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the chapter number 12. And just as you're turning up there, I do bring you greetings from our Prince George congregation. I was ordained as the pastor of that church in January of this year. Our church has grown a small amount over these past few months. We now have around 16 people on the Lord's Day. And you might say, what did it grow from? But nevertheless, growth is growth. And we do bring you some encouragements that the Lord has opened up some great doors of evangelistic opportunities. One of the advantages of having a small congregation is that you have more time to go out and to evangelize. And the Lord has opened up a door into the university to be a chaplain there. The Lord has also opened up a door into the prison and into the open air, into various senior homes. And all of those works have proved effective means of evangelism. But ask your prayer request, please, just for a ministry that we have going in a town called Williams Lake. Williams Lake is a town of around 25,000 people, and it's 3 hours south of Prince George. And we go there once a month on a Sunday night. We have our service in the morning. We have a service in the afternoon. We leave about 3:30. We get down there about 6:30, and then we have our meeting at 7 o'clock. And that has proved a very effective means of outreach. We have around anywhere between 18 to 25 people who will come to those meetings. There's a real emphasis on those meetings that they are evangelistic meetings, and the people have really done the groundwork to go and get their friends, their families, and their workmates to come in. And there's a group of men down there, and their wives are converted, and they come to those meetings, but those men are not converted. And on Sunday night, the last Sunday I was there, the wives spoke to me one by one, and they all had it's very unique, they all had the same thing to say about their husbands. They all said, my husband now has a fear of death. It's a fear of dying. I believe the Lord is beginning to move and stir hearts down there. And so pray as we go back for these meetings that the Lord will keep us safe as we travel, and also as well that the Lord will bring fruit. And then one final encouragement is my wife had our first baby, and we called him Edward, and we were delighted for that as well. We'll read together tonight from the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse number 12, and we'll read down to the verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning to read here at the verse number 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Would you pray with me now, just as we come to the preaching of the word that the Lord would bless and give much liberty tonight. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for the great privilege that is ours to come again before the throne of grace. We come in a great time of need as we gather, O Lord, to study thy truth. And we pray tonight, O Lord, with the time remaining, that, O God, that you would give us power and that you would give us help. We pray, O Lord, that as you've laid this message upon our heart and our soul, that it would be the right message for tonight. But, O God, that you would take it and you would apply it to some needy soul and to some needy heart. And, O Lord, tonight that there might be a working of the Spirit of God in and through his church. That there might be, O Lord, fresh repentance. That there might be, O Lord, a fresh returning to the cross at Calvary. And, O Lord, I pray that tonight, that, O, by thy Spirit, that you would enter in and do the work that only you can do. And, Lord, convict, lead, and guide thy people. We pray these things in thy precious and worthy name. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight upon a very particular subject and on a very particular sin. Now, this sin may not spring immediately into your mind as one of the more severe or serious sins, but nevertheless, this sin is serious and it is deadly. It's serious because of oftentimes the great harm that it can cause to individuals and also to groups. It can cause friction in families, fractures in fellowships, and it is also deadly because due to its nature, it can often be very hard to get out of the individual's life. It is also a sin that I believe, if we are going to be honest tonight, that at some point within our Christian journey, each of us will have to face and do battle with. I want to speak to you tonight upon the subject of the sin of bitterness. The sin of bitterness. I want to direct your attention there to the verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now often whenever a subject like this is preached upon, people have the tendency to close their Bibles, fold their arms and say, right, preacher, give it all you've got. Let it go, because the person two rows in front of me needs to hear this. And they get a kick out of the preacher really going hard upon a certain sin or upon a certain subject because they think that somebody else in the congregation needs to hear it. But look with me tonight in verse number 15. It's directed looking diligently. You are to look diligently. Not at those around about you, but to within. To your own heart, to your own soul. And I want you to look within tonight. I want you to examine yourself tonight. And the condition of your own soul as to whether you possess the sin of bitterness. I want you to notice four things with me tonight concerning the sin of bitterness. The first thing I want you to notice with me is the characteristics of bitterness. The characteristics of bitterness. It says there, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now when it says to fail of the grace of God, it does not mean that you go from a state of being saved by grace to all of a sudden that grace being removed and you go back to a state of being unsaved. Rather, what it's speaking about here is failing to go on in grace, failing to progress in grace, failing to advance within your spiritual walk. But look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Bitterness is described here as a root. And as we think about that analogy of a root, there's two things that we can draw out from that. The first thing that we understand about a root is that roots are hidden. When you go out to the tree, you see the trunk, you see the branches, you see the leaves. But you do not see normally the roots. They're hidden under the soil. They're hidden underneath. And such is the nature and the characteristic of the sin of bitterness. Bitterness oftentimes, yes, it can be displayed outwardly and it eventually manifests itself in your life. But it starts within. It starts within the heart. It's hidden in its very early stages. And oftentimes this is why it is so dangerous, because it can grow and it can go unnoticed by those around and even by the individual. But also as well concerning the root, not just are roots hidden, but roots run deep. Roots go deep into the soil and into the ground. Whenever I used to live back in Ulster, around our house there was maybe four or five mighty oak trees. And I used to love going out at night into the storms. And you would see the wind blowing these mighty oak trees. And you would see the massive branches going back and forth, back and forth. And you used to think to yourself, how ever did those trees stay upright? Why didn't they blow over? And the reason for that was the roots run deep within the soil. And it is the same for bitterness. When bitterness is planted within a heart and it stays hidden for a season, those roots grow and grow and grow and grow, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper within the heart. And this is the battle. This is why it's serious and it's deadly tonight. And this is why we're called to self-examination. Because my friend, when bitterness gets in and those roots go deep, they're awful hard to uproot. I don't know if you've ever tried to uproot a tree, but it's awful hard to get the roots out. You can cut the branches down. You can get the chainsaw out. And hopefully you're not cutting down a tree anywhere close to your house. You see some of those horror films online, people cutting down trees and it collapses on their house. But you can cut the trunk. You can do all those things. But when it comes to the root, that's the hardest part to get out. And my friend tonight, this is a serious sin. It is a serious sin because it can go hidden and deep within the heart. It can have awful consequences, as we will come to see. But secondly tonight, notice with me, the cause of bitterness. The cause of bitterness. Now again, let's consider the analogy of a root. How does a root begin to grow? It starts with just a seed. You look at those mighty oak trees that I was talking about around my house. They started with just a little acorn, and they grew up into mighty trees, just a small seed. And those roots run deep, and they're hidden, and they come from just a small seed. But I want you to notice tonight, with there in verse number 16. In verse number 16, we're introduced to a man called Esau. Now, just for time's sake, let me tell you the story, but you probably know it very well. You have the sons of Jacob and Esau, and there was often a lot of competitiveness between those sons. The prophecy was given that Esau would serve Jacob. The elder would serve the younger. And this was prophesied. It was laid out, and the family knew that. And so Esau came in one day, and he sold his birthright, that which entitled him to a double inheritance. But then there was another day. Instead of Jacob and his mother trusting God that Jacob was going to receive the blessing, instead of trusting God to work things out by his providence, they hatched a plan to deceive Isaac. And they tricked Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing instead of Esau. They stole it from him. And after all of this happened, and after Esau had learned that he had not just lost his birthright, but he had also lost out on the blessing, Genesis chapter 27 and verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, that he had lost the birthright and lost the blessing, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. The actions of others cause bitterness to enter into the life of Esau. My friend, I wonder, you here tonight, and bitterness is in your heart. If you're going to be open and you're going to be honest tonight, you've become a bitter person. And the reason for that was there was another child of God, somebody even in this church, and they wounded you by their actions. And that perhaps even small and insignificant wound, that little seed was the very thing that began the root of bitterness to grow. I want you to notice it didn't stop there in Esau's life. Bitterness grows, and it does stay hidden for a while, but eventually it manifests itself. Notice with me there, Genesis 27, in the verse number 41, and Esau hated Jacob. His bitterness led to hatred. Then as well, we read on down, he says, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother. He premeditated the murder of his own brother. So it led to hatred, and it led to premeditated murder. Then in chapter number 28, we read again in verse number 6, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. So here we see Isaac. He gives his sons a command. Do not go and marry the daughters of the heathen. Don't go there. I want you to marry one of our own. I want you to keep it among the people of Israel. And Isaac says, there's my opportunity. The very thing that my father does not want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And Esau goes out, and he marries a daughter from the Gentiles, from the heathen. And he does it to wound his father. He does it as a deliberate public act of disobedience. And my friend, I want you to see the seriousness of bitterness tonight. The seriousness of it. It led this man Esau to hatred, to planned murder, and to dishonor his parents. My friend, I do not know what perhaps has caused the sin of bitterness in your life. But can I make some stabs in the dark here tonight? What perhaps has caused bitterness in your life? There's three things I believe that cause bitterness every time they happen. Weddings, funerals, and inheritance. Weddings, funerals, and inheritance. And I know immediately that probably every older person within this congregation right now, your mind is turning, and you're thinking about somebody who has fallen out with their family over a wedding, over a funeral, or over inheritance. I could name you an abundance. I can name brothers that do not speak to each other, will not even look at each other over the inheritance that was divided between them. I know daughters and mothers that will not even so much as attend each other's houses for tea or for dinner because they fell out over a wedding. We know family members, even recently, that have went and separated themselves, will not speak to each other over the plans of a funeral. And my friend, even these trivial earthly things among the Lord's people can cause bitterness to enter within, can cause bitterness to come into a church. I don't know the thing that has caused bitterness to enter into your heart tonight. But my friend, I want to warn you tonight of the danger of it. It didn't stop with Esau just thinking it in his mind. It eventually manifested itself on his heart. But I wonder, is there someone here tonight? I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you're not saved? You're not a Christian. And you may not be bitter at this church. You may not even be bitter at the minister. But I wonder, are you bitter against God? You've grown up in this church, grown up in a Christian family, and you resent the fact that God has placed you there. You grow up and you say, you look at those people and they're going out and they're enjoying life and you're constrained and held back by the restraints of your parents. I wonder tonight, are you bitter against God? Because you wanted to go out and enjoy your sin, but God by His providence has placed you here. Oh dear sinner, let me warn you tonight of the danger of being bitter against God. Because Esau found no place of repentance. He carried on in his bitterness and it led him to fornication, it led him to adultery, it led him to sin, and he found no way back to God. My friend, tonight I do not know your position, I do not know where you are, but if you're outside of Christ, and perhaps you're here tonight and you are bitter against God, or you're even bitter against your parents for the course of life they're put you on, oh my friend, I warn you, repent while there's opportunity. Turn to Christ tonight. Don't carry on in your sin. Don't go on in your wickedness and in your rebellion. But turn to Jesus Christ tonight and find the cure for the sin of your heart. Come to Him. Do not delay. As I thought about this meeting, God pressed it in my heart time and time again. There is someone here tonight. There is someone here tonight and you are bitter against God. There is someone here tonight and you are bitter against your life because you're restrained by your sin. And young person, older person, I urge you tonight, do not go on in your sin. Don't carry on with that bitter heart, but come to Christ tonight and get it put right, lest you find no place of repentance like Esau did. Notice with me, thirdly, and very briefly, I want you to notice the consequences of bitterness. We've dealt in some regards with Esau's life, but if you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter 12, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There's two consequences here in this verse that come from bitterness. There's first of all personal trouble. It troubles you. It troubles you. And a bitter person is a troubled person. They may not be troubled outwardly. It may not manifest itself yet in having a troubled life. Their life may not be falling apart. But in their conscience, in their soul, in their heart, there's no rest. There's no contentment. There's no peace. That bitterness just keeps bubbling up and springing up and it consumes it. I don't know if you can be honest tonight and say that perhaps you're a believer and you've went through a time of bitterness. You go to bed at night and it's on your mind what that person has done. You get up in the morning and it's on your heart and mind again what that person has done. You come into worship and you're singing the hymns and something triggers your thoughts and it goes to what that person has done. It never leaves you alone. There's no peace. There's no peace. Notice then as well, not just is there personal trouble, but there's also public trouble. And thereby many be defy. You may think to yourself, well, Andrew, I have bitterness, but I can control it. I can keep it under wraps. I've been going now for a time, and I confess I have bitterness towards a brother or sister in the Lord, but I'm holding it back. I'm smiling at them. I'm letting it go. Let me warn you that bitterness in the heart will always lead to personal trouble. But it will always lead to public trouble. It will never just affect you. It will always affect others around. That's why in 99% of cases, whenever one person becomes discontent within the house of God and in the church, they never leave by themselves. They always take a small group or small clan with them. And what do? They go to someone that they know will probably vindicate them and validate their bitterness. And they'll go and they'll confess what has happened, what has done, and they'll go to that person. That person will say, "It's not your fault. It's okay." And then they'll start talking with each other. And then they begin to talk about that person and what that person has done to them. And before you know it, your bitterness has spread throughout the congregation. My friend, it never just stays with you. Your bitterness will destroy you, but it will also destroy other people within your life. Such is the seriousness and the deadliness of bitterness. But finally tonight, I believe in some regard I've opened the wound, taken off the bandage of the wound of bitterness. But here's the ointment tonight for the healing. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 in the verse number 31. We find here in the book of Ephesians the cure for bitterness. Consider the characteristics of bitterness, the cause of bitterness, the consequences of bitterness. But now the cure for bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's two commands here that the Apostle Paul gives. He first of all commands us to put away. How can we put away bitterness out of our hearts? Well, I believe there's two things that we can do. First of all, we go to the book of Matthew. We turn to the chapter number 18. And we follow through the biblical pattern of being reconciled to a brother. If someone has wounded you and they've caused that root of bitterness, and it's such a wound and it's such a hurt that you cannot get over, then you are required by the law of God to go to them and to put it right and to seek reconciliation. And my friend, let me tell you this. God knows better than you. God knows better than you. I have seen it time and time again. Especially among young people. And they fall out one with another. And they say to themselves, "Well, I'm not going to go to them. I'm just going to go on with my life. And they can go on with their life." And they think that that's the best solution. That's not what God has commanded. God knows better than you. And God knows how to fix the problems within His church better than what we do. And if someone tonight has hurt you or injured you or wounded you, and bitterness is rising up within your heart, go to that person. Tell them their fault between you and them. If they don't hear you, take a witness. If they will not hear you and the witness, then tell it to the church. God's method of reconciliation always has an outcome. My friend, get it dealt with tonight. Don't leave it. Don't go home. If that brother or sister is here tonight, take them somewhere private and get it dealt with now. Don't let the fowl of the air go and take away the seed. You say, "I'm going to get that dealt with tomorrow," and then you never do. Get it dealt with tonight. But not just do we have to go to Matthew 18 in order to put away bitterness. But we also have to go to the cross. Verse number 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I know this is really the close of the message and the last part of the message, but I don't want it to be the insignificant part of the message. This is the main part. My friend, if you truly want to uproot bitterness out of your heart, you need to go afresh to the cross. And you need to go to that cross and you need to realize that God gave you mercy. He gave you mercy. That God gave you what you did not deserve. If He gave you justice, if He gave you what you deserve, you would be in hell. You would never have found forgiveness. You would never have found the gift of repentance. My friend, we go to the cross and we see the place where God punished his Son for our sin. Where through his work he is able to forgive, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know what you say tonight? If you say to a brother or sister, not perhaps in your own mind, if you say to that brother or sister, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to forgive you. You're really saying two things. First of all, you're accusing God of acting unjustly. For you're saying, well, okay, God could forgive you, but I could not forgive you. And if I cannot forgive you, then surely God should have not forgiven you. You're accusing God of injustice towards that person. You're also saying as well that you're morally superior to God. Oh, God can forgive. They can offend God all they want, and God can forgive them. But they can't offend me and find forgiveness. My friend, what you're saying is that you're morally superior to the holiness of God. And that's blasphemy. I pray tonight, as the wound has been opened up of bitterness, and the ointment has been put forward to you in and through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that you will come tonight, get to the cross, view again what it is to truly forgive, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you freely, unconditionally, complete forgiveness. That is what God has extended to you, and you ought to extend to others. Let me warn you tonight. To go on in bitterness, to go on in sin, is to follow the path of Esau. Is to follow the path of someone who never knew the Lord. Is to follow in the footsteps of someone who went out into God's eternity and who was lost in hell forever. My friend, tonight, if you're living in a life of bitterness and you're letting it go on year after year after year, let me say to you tonight, that's a sign that you're not even converted. That's a sign that you're happy and content to go on in sin. And you'll end up in the same place that Esau. Friend, come tonight and get it dealt with. Get it dealt with. I remember years ago an American pastor actually came to our church. And he preached on this very text. He preached on the sin of bitterness. I remember that night after the meeting, as I watched one of the men in our church, and he got up off his seat, and his eyes were filled with tears. Walked down out of the balcony, I followed him down, he came out at the bottom. I went over to another brother in the Lord and he put his arm on his shoulder and pointed him into a room. I later was told that man who came out of the balcony and came down, broke down in tears and crying and confessed his bitterness towards the brother and asked forgiveness and repentance for it. My friend, that's what you need to do tonight. Get it dealt with. Put it away. Come tonight afresh to the cross of Calvary. Know what it is to have this sin dealt with. Don't go the way of Esau. Come to the cross. If you're unsaved tonight and you're in your sin, don't carry on in your bitterness and your rebellion against God. Come to Christ tonight. Come and put your trust in Him. I urge you, while there is opportunity, while there is breath in your body, and while God by His Spirit and by His Word bids you come. Come to Christ tonight and get your sin dealt with. You will find at the cross forgiveness for all that you've done. Amen.